Welcome to another edition of Standing in the Gap. Today, we're going to review and look at and read through a edition of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That's a hymn that's often sung in the traditional churches across the world. Today, we want to go through that and examine the statements that's made. Because today we know there's a lot going on with this virus in 2020. There's a lot of fear going on. There's a lot of death. And we're seeking something to hold on to. Seeking more than just someone's promise that there's a better. We're seeking more than someone promising that tomorrow, in a couple of weeks or in a month, things will be okay, when no man knows the hour or the day. No one knows where this is going and how long it'll last and whether it'll reoccur. It could be months, it could be years. So what we do know is that God offers us an escape. God offers us a way out. He offers us shelter. And that's what we will examine today. This poem is what it is, that was basically changed into a hymn. But it's a poem that was written by a Joseph Scriven. This was a minister back in 1855, according to research. So Minister Joseph wrote this for his mother, who he was separated from. And it's a poem that gives comfort. And being that he was a minister, it comes from a place of spirituality. So let's look at this poem, or today as we sing it in our church as a hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And we're going to examine it and apply it to today and what's going on. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So that's the first verse, and let's examine that. Number one, it speaks of God and Jesus as a friend, and a very close friend in which you can carry all of your sins and griefs that you're bearing. That he is able to take those things on that we are not. And it further said, it's a privilege. It's not for everyone, but it's a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So prayer is the key. Prayer is our refuge. Prayer is the thing that lends, that allows God to hear the moaning and groanings and the concerns of his people, and to know that they are real. Now, God already knows what's going on. He knows their hearts. But what God wants is for you to recognize him as being your savior and your refuge. It further goes on, oh, what peace we often forfeit. And this is very critical. Oh, what peace we forfeit. We throw away, we give away our peace. Oh, what peace we often, not sometimes, but we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear. There's people who worry about and agonize over things that they cannot change. Things that is far beyond the human capacity to even comprehend. But here it says we forfeit that because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. It's all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And when you take it to God in prayer, you lay it down. You bring it to him, knowing that he will fix it. And there's a song, as we're talking about him though, that says, fix it, Jesus, fix it, like you said you would. and he will. The second verse here goes on to say, we have trials and temptations. We're dealing with a major trial now. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And I think in now times, that's a message that's going out that we're strong, we're going to make it through. But I think on the inside, because you see people dying, people suffering, you see nurses quitting, you see doctors afraid to go to work. So there is a level of fear. There is discouragement. But here it says we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And let me give you a psalm to look at. Psalm 91. This psalm talks about all the things that could happen, but for God that we are still here. Psalm 91, look at verse 7, going through 16. 1,000 may fall to thy, at thy side. And listen to the numbers compared to what we're talking about today. 1,000 may fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thee, thy dwelling. You see that verse 10? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, and help thee, and keep thee in all thy ways. That's a comforting feeling. But this is all back to the privilege. We are privileged to know Christ. We are privileged to serve God. It's a privilege. Everyone don't have that privilege, but they can. So you have to be a child of God. You have to know God. You have to have a relationship with him and then know his ways. Seek to God first. Look to God. And then all the other things will be added. All of these privileges, the protection. God loves his people. So you need to put your trust in God. Put your trust in the words of Jesus. And then all of these things will come and you will not have a discouraging spirit. You won't have a spirit of fear. So take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all of our sorrows share? Can we find a friend? We find friends, but they can't help us. They're not that kind of friend. We need a friend with power. With all power, one that can take us under his arms and protect us and shield us. So we should know that God is in control, even amongst and amidst what's going on today. That this virus that's going on, it is like a plague, and it is man-made. Man has shortened his days because we think we know what we're doing, and we don't. But God knows, and he's already put a plan in place. Let's go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, 11. Book of Matthew, chapter 11. And in 28 and 29 and 30, speaking of a king, Hezekiah. And he was sick at some point, and he was getting well. And then he had these visitors that came from Babylon. Hezekiah was king, but not over that province, that area. And they came in. They were like, basically, oh, we're here to, you know, to check on you and wish you well. And that king, Hezekiah, showed them all of everything that he had. He showed them all his precious gold and his fine oils and jewelry and everything. He showed them all. Then Isaiah came in, was a prophet. Isaiah He said, who, he asked the king, who were these people? He said, what did you all talk about? What was going on? And he said, well, I showed them all that I had. I showed them everything. And Isaiah said, those people from that foreign land, they will come here and they will take over all that you have and destroy it. And the king said, well, because he knew Isaiah and as being a minister of the Lord, said, yes, you have said it well. And what we plan is to follow the Lord's plan, and we'll put it in his hand. And he wasn't concerned about that. And that's how we should be. There are some things that will be, and we have to put it in the Lord's hand and see how he handles that. Let's go back to Isaiah 40 and 29. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 29, 30, and 31. Isaiah 29, and it reads, for he giveth power. Verses 29. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might of increase strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. Look, listen to this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But look at 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That is the encouragement. That is the power. That is the faith. It relates very much to what's going on. There's sickness all around us. There's people dying. But here it says, we have to wait upon the Lord. Wait for his plan to be manifested. We are to now be still. Then he will show his glory. Then we will have refuge if we put our faith and trust in him. And then look at this last verse here. Are we weak and heavy laden? Yes, we are. Are we? Yes. Cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he shall take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. So amongst and amidst all that's going on, even with the virus, even without, in our daily lives, there's always trouble abound. But we should not be discouraged. We are to just pray about it and not try to handle all of this that goes on in this world by ourselves. We have a Savior who already have suffered through all the pain and the misery. We have a Savior who died for our sins and our shortcomings. We have a Savior who have risen, and we will be celebrating his rising up and rising with all power in the following week. So that is encouragement. That is what we look for. We are believers in Christ. Therefore, we walk by faith in knowing that even 1,000 arrows to the left and right of us will not come near us, because we are a child of God. We are all children of God. And for those who don't believe and choose not to, there will come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. And that's our word and message for the day. What a friend we have in Jesus. There's no friend like him. No, not one. Thank you and be blessed.